around Tetzvav on the days. For Omar Rabbi Chama Reb Chanina, Loma Nismechu Ohalim Lenecholim. Why is Ohalim the Pasuk Matovo Lecha Yaakov and Kinecholim Nitoyu Ka Ohalim? Kinecholim Nitoyu Ka Ganos Aleinor Ka Aloim Not Hashem. Why is Ohalim put next to Necholim? Lomar Lecha Man Necholim Malim Is Ohalim Mituma Latara, just like Necholim or a mikvah that bring a person from Tuma to Hara. At Ohalim Malim Is Ohalim Mikavchov Lekavsvus. So to Ohalei Torah, the places where people learn Torah, change them from Chova to Svus. Rashi Ohalim Unecholim Ki Necholim Mitoyu Ka Ohalim Nota. Af ohalim bote medrashos, ohalim loshen metia no fellas quem. Right? Ke ohalim nota, how do you plant a tent? So Rashi says, no, the loshen of planting applies by tents too. Shenemar vayita ohale apadno. The Tosfos here says that that's not shot in this pasuk. It's the ohalim in this pasuk means besamim. Aholim. It's not ohalim, and therefore netiya, planting, obviously applies to besom. So what does it mean, loma nismechu ohalim lenecholim? The pasuk before, matovu ohalecha Yaakov, there it applies specifically to the tents of Torah learning. And that's right next to this pasuk, kinecholim. And according to Tosfos, the Lashon is better, because smicha is between two psukim. You have one pasuk, and samuch to that is another pasuk. But in one pasuk itself, usually the Gemara says the lashon of hekish, lama hukshu necholim li ohalim. So if we would be talking about the same pasuk, it should say a hekish, not a smichus. Some say that to answer this question, so they say like this. They say that what Rashi means to say, or what the Gemara means to say, the way Rashi learns is, L'chora, since it said in the pasuk before, Matovu Olecha Yaakov, right, it should have put Ke'ahalim Nota Hashem right next to that, and then spoke about Necholim. Why does it put Necholim first, and then Ohalim, right? It should have put, why does it put Ohalim next to Necholim? It should have put Ohalim next to Ohalim. The fact that it didn't is to tell me that Ohalim are like Necholim. And the fact that Ohalim in this pasuk means Besamim, but since it's written like Ohalim, it doesn't say Besamim, you can darshan something. And besides that, we find many psukim where the word Aholim, taka means, according to many midrashim, doesn't mean Besamim. Like Tosa says, but it means taka, tents. What is the limud? Right? L'chora, it's pasuk. As we know, the Torah is, makes a person have zechuyos. But I mean a pasuk to tell me that. So the Chafetz Hashem, the Orachayim HaKadosh says, or that we learn from here that Talmud Torah is Mechaper Ovo, just the Etzem Esek HaTorah, right, is Mechaper Ovo, or that by going to shul and learning, a person knows what's wrong and he stays away from it, or that just sitting in shul is Metayer a person, right, it gives a person an extra Tahara and takes him from Chova to Schus, and the Chidosh says a different Limud. So just like a mikveh, even if you fall into the mikveh by accident, right, it still has an effect. So too, even if you fall into shul by accident or by force or whatever, and you don't really want to be there, but as long as you're there properly, as long as you had a kosher tvila, right, even if you fell in by accident, it also helps. Same thing, even if you come to shul without necessarily the right intentions, but you conduct yourself properly in shul, it also helps. Those are the chedushim that Necholim and Ohalim tell us, that it's like a mikveh. Okay. Hakori l'mafreya lo yotza, Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi havikor kokatrin le'ganin o l'Rabbelozer. Right? Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi were preparing a chuppah for Rabbelozer. Amar lehu, adohachi v'hachi ezel v'eshma milsa de v'medrisha. Well, we're here already, let's go to the base medrash and hear what they have to say. The AC the aim of the hoop. So he said, while you're here, I'll go to the base medrash, hear what they have to say, and come back and report to you what the any chiddush of the base medrash. Ozol ashkechei l'tana diktani kamed Rav Yochanan kara v'tov ve'en yodei l'heichan tov. A person read Shema and he made a mistake. He doesn't know where. He doesn't know where he's holding. Okay. The emtza haperek yachzor l'rosh. So in the middle of the perek, right, he should go back to the beginning. We'll see in 1 second what the beginning means. Bein perek leperek yazel leperek rishon. If he knows that he finished one paragraph, but he doesn't know which one, then go back to the first paragraph. He knows he says uchsavtom, but he's not sure if he said uchsavtom in the second parsha or uchsavtom in the first parsha. He should go back to the first parsha, because maybe he didn't say the second one yet. And ukshartom, they say there's no kasha, there's no way of making a mistake, because the ukshartem is in one parsha, and ukshartom is in the other parsha, two different words completely. But uchsavtom is the same exact way in the first one, in Shema, and Vyohavta, and in Vayim Shemoah. Omer le'er b'yochanan, lo shonu ele shelo posav b'laman yirbu yamechem. That's only if you didn't start saying laman yirbu yamechem. Abo posav b'laman yirbu yamechem, if you said already laman yirbu yamechem, sirche nokat v'asi, then we take on that you said what you normally are accustomed to saying. So he went back and he told them who were preparing for the chuppah what he heard in the Beis Medrash. Even if we didn't come for anything else but to hear this chiddush, was kedai. Rashi, katrin le genana, koshin lo chuppah lasio isha. They were preparing the chuppah. Yazul rosh to go shahay yodei ashim a perik zetah the delay. Aval eni yodei beezem makom botah. He knows he made a mistake. He skipped something in this paragraph, but he doesn't know where. So he has to go back to the beginning of the paragraph. Bein perek leperek, sheodeya shegomer haparsha. He knows he finished at least one parsha. V'tzorech lahaskel parsha acheres, and he has to start another one. But he doesn't know which one. Ve'eno yodeya ve'ezameh, v'nyasu leperek rishon, v'hefzik rishon, v'ayim shamoa. So he should go back to the first hefzik, which is, he has to start v'ayim shamoa. Since he knows he finished a paragraph, so Vyohafti doesn't go back to, because that's the first paragraph. So he goes back to the beginning of the second paragraph. That's how Rashi learns. Ben k'siva l'k'siva, sheyodeya shetzorech lomer uchsavtem, ve'en yodeyam rishonim sheni. He knows that he's holding now by uchsavtem la'os ha'yodecha, but he doesn't know if it's the uchsavtem in the first parsha or in the second one. He has to go back and say it in the first parsha. Omer Rabbi Yochanan l'tana, sarche nokat, ein litos mikan ad emes v'yatziv, ve'ein tzorech lazer ela l'emes sh'apar sh'shkura b'fiv. Rashi learns that if you said l'man yirbu yamechem, you know you said that, then we can take on that everything else you said okay till emes v'yatziv. Because the last parsha is shkura b'fiv, everybody knows that parsha inside out. The Rashba asks why that parsha is more shkura b'fiv than any others. He doesn't understand. He learns a different pshat than Rashi, which the Rambam also learns, and everybody else learns, the Shulchan Aruch learns. But that's what Rashi learns. Rashi learns that if you know you said l'man yirbu yamechem, from there till emes v'yatziv, you never have to go back. Because we assume that if you're not sure, you can assume that you said it properly. Because that parsha, everybody knows. And it's shkura b'fiv, and therefore there's no problem. Okay. See what's here. First of all, what's it called? Tosfos says that if you it's only if you have a doubt that maybe you didn't say from the beginning of the parsha, you have to go back to the beginning of the parsha. But if you know for sure you said the first two psukim, but you're not sure what you said after that, then you don't have to go back to the beginning of the parsha every time you're not sure. You only have to go back to the beginning of the sentence where it's possible that that's where you didn't say. Okay, so you don't have to always say the whole parsha again, and the Torah also holds like that. But it's mashma from Tosfos that you have to go back to the beginning of the sentence at least where you have a mistake. In other words, if you know you said these words, but after that you're not sure if you said the rest of the sentence or not, so you have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk, even though you know you said the first words, but you always have to start from the beginning of the pasuk. And the Meiri holds enough. If you know for sure you said the first few words of the pasuk, all you have to do is go back and start from the word that you're not sure if you said or not, even if it's in the middle of a pasuk. The Bach says that the reason you only go back to the Yohavta, if you're not sure what you made a mistake or whatever, the most you can go, Chozer L'Rosh means the Yohavta, not Shema. Why? He says, because if you are not sure if you read Shema or not, then you surely didn't read Kavanah. So you definitely have to go back to Shema. So it must be talking where you knew you read Shema, but you're not sure after that if you read anything or not. Because if you're not sure if you read Shema, of course you have to go back, not because maybe you didn't say it, because even if you said it without Kavanah. How could you have said it with Kavanah and not be sure if you said it or not? I'm sure the Bach wrote this when he was young. Because if he would have been older, he would have no kasha at all. It's possible to say something with Kavanah and still not sure if you said it or not. Okay. The Levush says that even if you're not sure So according to the Bach, if you're not sure if you said Shema, you definitely have to go back. It's only talking where you're sure you said Shema, and you, what's it called? The verse says, even if you're not sure if you said Shema, there already it's mulzik that you probably said it. Right? If there's a suffix, we can take on that you probably said it. And the Divrei Chamudos is kolik on him, and he says that if you're not sure if you said Shema, you have to say it over again too. There's no chazoka that if you're not sure if you said Shema, you've already said Shema. Okay. Rashi says Perek Rishon. You know you said one paragraph or till a stop, but you're not sure which stop. Then obviously you said V'yohavta. So you have to start from Vayim Shemoah. The Rambam holds you have to go back to V'yohavta, and the first stop is Shema in Baruch Shem Kavod. Since the minig is to stop a little bit after Baruch Shem Kavod, if you know you said up till one stop, maybe you said just a stop of Shema and Baruch Shem Kavod, right? But even the Rambam holds, if you know for sure that you said a whole paragraph, then you only have to go to Bohem Shemoah. But the Rambam says, if you're not sure, right, what you said, and you know you said up till one stop, then you have to go back to V'yohavta, not like Rashi says that you have to go back to Bohem Shemoah. There's no big machlokas l'maisa. It's talking if you know you said a paragraph or you just know you said up until a stop or not. Okay. Rashi learns if you know that you said l'man yirbu yameichem, then from there till emes v'yatsiv, there's no doubt. If you have a doubt whether you said anything in Parsha Tzitzit, you don't have to go back because we can assume that you said it properly because that Parsha shkura the thief. I was thinking maybe the difference is that the other two parshios, since they have things that are similar, there people make more mistakes. But in this parsha, which is completely different, there, if you're not sure, we can take on, you probably said the parsha properly. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, the Rashba, everybody argues on Rashi, and they say what everybody knows. There's a pshat over here, and that is the following. If you said, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, I'm in the first parsha and the second parsha. What do I have to say next? Do I have to say Laman Yirbu, or do I have to say V'hoyim Shemoah? So if you're not sure, you go back to the Uchsavtom of the first parsha. But if you, while you were thinking, what do you have to say? You automatically said Laman Yirbu, then we assume that you're in the second parsha, and you, by habit, said what comes next. And therefore you don't have to go back at all, you just keep going. Okay, that's how they learn if you said Laman Yirbu. The Rambam holds that since all of these shailas are just in going back either to the pasuk, going back to the beginning of the parsha, that you don't ever have to go back to the beginning of Shema, it's obvious that the Seder HaParshios is not ma'akif. Even if you said the parshios out of order, for instance, you made a mistake in V'yohavta, and you remembered it after you finished V'hoyim Shemoah. So you don't have to say V'hoyim Shemoah over again. You just have to go back, say V'yohavta, from the part that you made a mistake, and then go on to Vayomer. Because b'di'evit, the Seder HaParshios is not ma'akev. The Gra brings a Tosefta. That's mashma, that if you skip the Pasuk, you have to go back to the beginning and say the whole Kriya Shema over again. And Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam answers his father, for his father, not from the Gra, but from this Tosefta. He mentions the Tosefta. And he says that you have to learn the Tosefta differently. It doesn't mean you go back to the beginning of Shema. You just go back to the beginning of that Parsha. And or l'chatchili, you should say them in order, whatever. But the evidence is not ma'akev. The Gra holds that the Seder HaParshios is ma'akev. The Rambam holds it's not. And pretty much we hold that the evidence, the Seder HaParshios is not ma'akev. L'chatchili, you should say them in order. Okay, let's go on. Mishnah. Ha'umnim korin b'rosh ha'ilan u'v'rosh ha'nidbach nashe'enon r'shoyim masos ken b'tfila. Workers who are experts in the work that they're doing, we'll see that is significant, according to some Rishonim, are allowed to say Kriya Shema if they're up in a tree. They don't have to come down from the tree. And Uberosh HaNidbach, Rashi says, Ha'umnin, Shehein, Asukim, B'molachtam, Berosh HaIlan, Uberosh HaNidbach, they're working, middle of working, right? The Higiyazman Kriya Shema, Korin L'Shomia, they can read there in the tree, they don't have to come down. Nidbach, Binyan Shalavonim. A nidbach is a wall or a building made out of stone. Kimon nidbachim di evin golem. Like in Ezra it says that. The Rambam of Pirush Mishnah says nidbach is the wood cast or what's it called? The thing that you make to fill it up with cement, right? Form. The wooden form that you do when you're making a brick wall, you make a form out of wood, and then you fill it up with rocks. So the nidbach is the wooden form that you make. That's what the Rambam was nidbach is. Okay. Masha einam rishoyin lasos kevitzvila. They can say kriyishma up in the tree and on top of the wall. It's lusa rachmehi, but not, it can't daven shmon esrei. Because tefillah is rachamim, uboy kavana, you need extra kavana. You need kavana in shema too, but you only need kavana in the first pasuk. So for that kind of kavana, you can say it in a tree too. But for the kavana that you have to have in shmoneh esrei, which is throughout the shmoneh esrei, you have to know that you're davening to the Rabbanu Shem and asking for rachamim, that's too much to have up in a tree. Because all the time, it's such a long time, and therefore they're afraid. Maybe they'll fall out of the tree, and they're not having kavana. They're thinking more about falling out of the tree than having kavana to daven for rachmin before the Rabbanu Shalom. It's not comfortable to stand in a tree. So for Kriyishma, where you only need kavana in the first pasuk, is enough. But in what's it called, for Shmoneh Esrei, you need more kavana. Because of their constant fear of falling out of the tree, they're not going to have kavana for the duration of Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. Chosan. Potter mi kriyishma laila harishona va'ad motzei Shabbos. Chosan is potter from kriyishma the first night until motzei Shabbos. In lo asa maisa. Right, Ram Gamliel got married, and he read Kriyishma the first night. So his Talmidim said, as you are supposed to say to a Rebbe or a father if you see them doing something wrong, didn't you teach us differently? They didn't go and say, hey, well, how do you read Kriyishma? What's it called? They said, didn't you teach us differently? Shechosim Potter Mikriyishma. I'm not going to listen to you, right, to not be makabel, not to say Kriyishma, even 1 hour. Okay, see what that means in a second. But in any case, basically the idea is that Ram Gamliel never meant to say that it's usher to say Kriyishma. You're potter. But if you want to be machmer, you could be machmer. So it's not a maisa listor, Tosfos says. It's not a stira to what came before. Because all Rav Gamliel was explaining is to his Talmidim is you don't have to say Kriyishma. But if you want to say it, you can say it. And therefore, I'm going to say it. Okay. Let's go on. Tan Rabon. Ha'um nim korim barosh ha'ilan barosh ha'nidba. The Gemara adds one prat the Mishnah didn't mention, and that is the following. You're allowed to say Kriyishma if you're a worker, right, on any tree and on any wall. But Shmoneh Esrei, you can say if you're in a Te'ena or in a Zayis, because we'll see in a second why. Those two trees, you can even say Shmoneh Esrei. You don't have to come down. But all the other trees, there you have to come down to say Shmoneh Esrei, as the Mishnah says, that. Ubal Habayis, that's the workers. But the Balabayis, Beinkach, Ubeinkach, Yorid Lamato, Mispaul, Lefishain, Daitium, Yushevisalav. The Balabayis, right, he's the boss, right, he's the one who's paying the workers. He has to come down no matter what, because Ain Daitium, Yushevisalav. We'll see in 1 second what that means. Okay, so let's see what's here first, and then we'll go on. Okay, the Rambam, what's it called, first of all, is not mechalik between the Balabayas and an Omen by Kriyishma. By Tfilah it says the Balabayas has to go down no matter what and daf. What about by Kriyishma? The Mishnah doesn't say anything about the Balabayas going down. Right, just says the Umnin don't have to go down for Kriyishma. How about the Balabayas? So by Kriyishma, the Rambam doesn't make a difference. Everybody can stay in the tree, even the Balabayas, right? And the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yonah say, since Kriyishma only need Kavana in the first Pasuk, they weren't Matriach even the Balabayas to go down. So even though in Tefillah there's a difference between the Balabayas and the Umnin, by a Zayas and a Te'ina, where a regular person, an Umnin, is allowed to stay in the tree, but the Balabayas, no matter what, has to come down. Okay. There's a Yesh Omrim in the Meiri, who argues on that, and he says the Rabbanim were only makel that an Umin should read in the tree, but not the Balabayas, and the Gro Paskins like that. And the reason being that the workers are being mevatel the work of the Balabayas. The Balabayas, he can be mevatel his own work. Right, so he can be maksed a little bit of money to come down and say Kriyishma, and to daven properly, or to say Kriyishma properly, And everybody says that if the Balabayas is not working, okay, he's just being mashgiach on the poalim, then for sure he has to come down. Because if he's in the middle of work, so even the Balabayas, the Rambam holds, weren't matriachim. But he's not working at all, he's just standing around, what's it called, being mashgiach on his poalim. Then he has to come down for sure. It's not bitl malocha at all, and it's what's it called? Not a big tircha to come down since he's not in the middle of work. Okay. Now, why are you allowed to daven in an olive and a what's it called? A ta'ena, a fig tree. Okay. So Rashi says, mispalim barosh hazayis barosh ha'ta'ena, bizman she'oskim bohen, when they're working on those trees, you're allowed to stay in the tree and even daven shmoneh esrei. Mipnei and fehem merubin, because they have very thick branches or a lot of branches and they're close together. The yecholim lamot shom shelo b'dochem. In those kind of trees, you can stand without any fear. The ein shom pachad lipo. Lefichach mispalim baroshom. Avo b'shari lo nasei mispalim. But other trees you can, because there you're afraid you're going to fall off. That's what Rashi says. The Rif brings a Yerushalmi. That says a different shot. Why they allowed you to stay in a zayas and a te'ena and not other trees? Because since the branches of the te'ena and the zayas are very thick, it's very hard to get out of them. It's hard to climb down from those trees. It's easier to climb down from trees where the branches are sparse, not where there are a lot of them. So therefore, it's an extra tier for the Rabbanan weren't matriyahu. The Ridva and the Meiri learn in the Yishalmi a different shot. They say that it's not good for the tree when you have all those thick branches to keep climbing up and down, because you're going to break branches. So al-rahmanis on the tree and on the mammon of the person who owns the tree, they said you can stay in the tree and say, Shmoneh Esrei, we don't want you coming in and out of the tree and end up breaking the branches. So those are the three reasons why a te'ena and a zayas are different. Okay, let's go on. Okay, the Balabayas, right? Why taka does the Balabayas different? Why does the Balabayas have to come down? So Rashi, what's it called, and the Shulchan Aruch also holds like that, that since the whole idea over here, why we let the workers stay in the tree, is because of Bittul Malach and the Balabayas, right? They're working for somebody else. It's not right that he should suffer because they want to be frum. So stay in the tree and don't waste his time. But the Balabayas himself, it's his money. So he can be mavatar on his money to be able to daven. So therefore, what's it called? He has to come down. However, the Ra'o and the Meiri say a different reason, more practical reason. It has nothing to do with the money. We're choshish for the money of the Balabayas too. Why should he lose? Right? Not just for other people making him lose. But the reason is that the Balabayas is not an umman. It's only umnim. It's only experts who, in a te'ena and a zayas, they can, what's it called, they can stay. And for Kriyashma, even in every tree, they can stay. Because they're basically used to this work. But the Balabais is in Ruman. He's just there helping out. And he's not used to this work. So he's much more afraid of falling out of the tree or falling off the wall. So for him, in any situation, he has to come down. Even for the one Pasuk in Kriyashma, even a Te'in or Zayas or whatever. The Nafkamina between these two Pshatim is obvious. What if the Balabais is also a Ruman? Right? He's also an expert craftsman in this work, right? It just happens to be the Balabais. So according to the second reason, he doesn't have to come down. According to the first reason, still the Balabais has to come down. Go on. Romile Rav Mori Barod Bashmuel the Rav. Rav Mori, who was the son of the daughter of Shmuel, asked the following question to Rav. Rashi. Bain Kakubain, we didn't learn this yet. Bain Kakubain, Kakalomra, Bain Mita'eno, Bain Mishari Lonos, the Balabayas, by Tfila. Even though we allow the workers to stay in the tree by a Te'eno and a Zayas, he has to come down no matter what. Yoredim Ispao, And from this Rashi, you see that Rashi held that by Kriya Shema, right, even the Balabayas doesn't have to come down. Everybody can stay in the tree by Kriya Shema. He's not working for anybody else. He's the boss. So he could be mavater on his money a little bit and come down and say Kriya Shema, like I mentioned. The fishein daito miushevis alav mi biasuso im hekelu etzul koalim. And the Maisa, everybody's a little bit afraid to fall out of a tree, right? Mipnei bitul malacha lo hekelu etzul balabais. But the main reason is not because he's afraid. Everybody's afraid a little bit. But because the other people, there's something connected, bitul malacha of the balabais, they canceled out the fear because of the loss of money. But for the balabais, they didn't cancel out that fear. And therefore, the fear takes precedence, and he's not wasting anybody else's money except his own, so let him be mavater on his money. Brod de Vashmuel, why was this guy called, right, Mori, the son of the daughter of Shmuel? To say who his father was. The Kama Makomos Korile Bar Rochel, Ubas Shmuel Hoysa. Some places, Itaka calls him Bar Rochel, right, because his mother was Rochel, who happened to be the daughter of Shmuel. So if we call him the son of the daughter of Shmuel, same thing as calling him the son of Rachel. Okay, that's equal. So why didn't we call him by his father's name? The Nishbeis Lebein Ha'anim, she was captured by Goyim, to the Omer B'Ksubo, so Bo'al Le'echod, and one of the Goyim lived with her, Benisabra, and she got pregnant from him. The Acherkat Nisgayer, and the Bo'al was later Nisgayer. He became a Jew. And he, what's it called, could be that he married her, under Zlavdavka. Ushmei Isser, his name was Isser, Isser Giora, right? Isser the Gear. Okay, and he was the, when he was a goy, he impregnated Rachel, the daughter of Shmuel. Kinamir Bava Basra, Rab Mori Berei Horoso Shalom B'Kedusha Havei, and since he was conceived when this guy was a goy, not his father, right? He has no shaychus thing, because he was a goy. And the goy's children are not miyuchas achareim. So he's miyuchas to his mother, but not to his father, even though his father eventually converted. Lekach lo nikra shem avi. And this is similar to all cases where a person is the son of a goy, whether the goy converts later on or not, as long as he didn't convert before he was conceived, right? So the halacha is that that's not his father, not his biological father, it's not his halachic father. And therefore you can't call him. For instance, if the goy converted later and he got a Jewish name, you can't call him Yaakov ben Shmuel, if that's what the ger's name was. Right? And you surely can't call him Yaakov ben Sam, right, if he never converted and he used his goyish name. Right? So you can call him either by his mother's name, right, Yaakov ben Rachel, if that was his mother's name. But that's only, they say, if the mother's name was a clear feminine name. But if the mother's name wasn't clearly feminine, like Yona, Simcha, right, names that could be feminine or masculine, then you can't call him by the mother's name because you may think it's his father. And you won't know who he is. Right? So then you can't use the mother's name. Or you can use the maternal grandfather's name, but you can't call him Yaakov ben Levi, who's the grandfather, because he's not Yaakov ben Levi. Right? Because that Levi's his grandfather. So you have to call him like it says in the Gemara. Yaakov ben Bas Levi. Right, he's Yaakov, who's the son of the daughter of Levi, knowing then that Levi is the grandfather, not the father. Right, so those are the ways of calling somebody whose father is a goy, right, properly. Okay, you also can't call him Yaakov ben Avram Avinu, because then it would imply that he's a ger, and he's not a ger. Right, he's a full-fledged Jew, just his father happens to be a goy. So he's not a ger, so you can't call him ben Avram Avinu. You can't call him ben Avram, because that's not his father's name. That's not his father was. All this is for shtoros. He has to sign an exuba, or you're writing a exuba on his name, or whatever. But to be called up for an aliyah, there you can call him pretty much any name that he chooses, out's embarrassment or whatever, and they call him up like that. From aliyahs, we don't learn halachas, but from shtaras we do. Okay, but it's still preferable to call up for an aliyah one of these ways too, either by the maternal grandfather's name, or by the mother's name, or by the name of the person who raised him. But then you can't say, let's say the person who raised him's name was Yitzchak, Yaakov ben Yitzchak. But his father wasn't Yitzchak, but the person who raised him, then you call him Yaakov HaMechune Yaakov ben Yitzchak, who's also called Yaakov ben Yitzchak. You know then, it's not really his father. Or Yaakov ben Yitzchak HaMegadlo, And you say clearly the one who raised him, or whatever. Okay, those are all the possible ways here. So what did he ask, now that we know who he is? The Rav. Tznan ha'umnin korim barosha ilin barosha nidbach amalo boy kavon. Right? Umnin are allowed to read kriyashma up in a tree. Mashmi don't need kavana. Because in a tree you can't have kavana because you have to come down for Shmon Esrei. Obviously you can't have kavana. Ulahalanu omir, one second. Boy kavana v'ramini hakori shma tzorich shichavnas libo. Shenemer shma Yisrael. Ulahalanu omir haskes u shma Yisrael. Malahalan bahaskes afkan bahaskes. But we know that you do need kavana in kriyashma. So, but it seems like tefillah you need kavana. Kriyashma you don't need kavana. Therefore, tefillah you have to come down from the tree, and kriyashma you can stay in the tree. But we know that you need kavana for kriyashma. Ishtik. She kept quiet. Maybe you have an answer. Right? Since Kriyashma, that's what he's explaining here. Since Kriyashma only needs Kavana for a very short time, and if they come off the tree, they're going to be mevatel from the Malacha, and they're working for somebody and getting paid for it. Right? Therefore, they were mekel that for that short amount of Kavana that you need in Kriyashma, just that first pasuk, you don't have to come off the tree. Vatanya, Basilil Omrim Oskim Malachton the Korin, right? Lamaisa, they can read while they work. Lokasha Havaterik Rishon Havaterik Shani. For the Pasuk Shema, Perik Rishon means the Pasuk of Shema, there they have to stop working, say Kriya Shema, but they don't have to come down from the tree because coming down and going up is going to be an extra bitul malach. So they stop working, say Kriya Shema, the Pasuk, and then they continue the rest of it while they're working in the tree. Okay, Rashi. Tznan ha'umnim korn barosha ilin afilu bizman shem asukim. Alma lo boy kavon. You're allowed to say kriyishma when you're working. Obviously, you don't need kavon. If you need kavon, how can you do it when you're working? Can't have kavon on two things at the same time. Shem v'tel malach v'korin. Kadesh shu korin v'kavona rishoyin li batum mi malachta. In order that they should be with kavona, they're allowed to stop working. Perek rishon parsha shema boy kavona. The shema needs kavona. But not the rest. And Tosus says that we had the machlokas of Yochanan and Rava before. How much kavana you need? The first parsha, in other words, the parsha of Yohavta also needs kavana, or just the first pasuk? So this Gemara that says Perek Rishon, Tosus learned means the whole till Visharecha, goes according to the Man Yomar, says you need kavana till Visharecha. So you have to stop working for the whole first paragraph. But we paskin like Rava that it's enough to have kavana in the first pasuk. So according to him, then all you have to do is stop working for the first pasuk. After that, you can continue working and say Kriya Shema while you're working. And that type is what Tosafot says the halacha is. The Rambam, the Rosh, the Rif, what's it called, hold that you have to, even according to us, that you only have to have kavanah in the first pasuk, you still can't work for the whole first parsha. Why? Not else kavanah. The reason that you have to stop working in the first parsha is because otherwise it looks like Kriya Shema is only Aroi. You know, you're doing it, you know, lackadaisically. You're working and you're saying Kriya Shema, right? So it makes Kriya Shema look Aroi. That's not proper. And the reason only in the first parsha, so why should you do the whole thing? Because there it says in the first parsha, Alevavecha, Tzmashman has to be more Kavua, right? But in the other parshios, you don't have to. Okay. Let's go on. Tana Rabbana. Hapoalim shayu osim malacha etzel balabayis, korim kriyishma umevarchim lefoneo ulachareva. Right? Poalim who are working, and they're getting paid by the hour. So they read kriyishma umevarchim lefoneo ulachareva, and they make the brachas before and after. That's our girsa in the Gemara. That you make, say, Birchas Kriya Shema too. The Ochlin Pita, and they eat. They're obviously allowed to eat. They have a lunch hour too. Umevarchim lefoneo lachareva. And they make a bracha before and after eating also. Umespalim tfilas shmon esrei. And they daven shmon esrei. Right? All of this is part of what they're allowed to do. It's part of the conditions of the employment. And it's understood that they're allowed to daven on their employer's time. Since they're working from early morning till night, and there's no time to daven on their own time, so this is included in their in their workday. Aval ein yordin lefnei ateva, they can't be a shliach tzibur. They ain't nosin kapehem, and they don't. If they're kohanim, they don't duchen. Right. So Mordechai says, well, tanya me'ein shmon esrei. It says here they can daven shmon esrei. But we have a brisa that says they only daven me'ein shmon esrei, a shortened version of shmon esrei. If you're working on somebody else's time, you can't have the luxury of saying a whole shmon esrei. Just say me'ein shmon esrei. Or Rav Sheshes lo kasher. Or Rav Gamliel. Or Rav Yeshua. Rav Yeshua holds you always can say a shortened shmon esrei. So the Nail, in this situation, he holds, you can say a shortened Shmon Esrei. But Ram Gamliel holds that every day you daven a full Shmon Esrei, they daven a full Shmon Esrei too. So you Rabbi Yeshua, may you recall him, I feel you call other money. Right? If it's Rabbi Yeshua holds that everybody can daven a shortened Shmon Esrei every day. So why does it say Tafka Poelim? Ela Idi Vidi Ram Gamliel. Both Ram Gamliel, Vlokasha. Kan Ba'osim Bishora, Kan Ba'osim Bisudasan. It depends how much they're getting paid. If they're just working and they're getting a meal, that's their pay, then this great employer who just feeds his employees and that's it, right, he can be mavater, they can daven a full Shmon Esrei at least. But if they're getting, besides their meal, they're also getting wages, then they're more beholden to not waste the time of the employer, and therefore they, what's it called, they only say Me'em Shmon Esrei. V'atanya, ha'polim, v'yosu, melochet, v'abayis, korim, kriyashma, u'mispalim, v'ochlim, pitan, v'ein, mevorchim, lefaneha, avam, mevorchim, lachareha. We have a braisa that says that they don't make a bracha before they eat, only after, right? Shtayim, and only two brachas, not three. Surely not the bracha of the Rabbanon, which is the fourth bracha, hatova native, but even of the Torah brachas, they only say two of them, not three. Ketzad, bracha rishona ketikuna, they say birchas hazon, hazon es hakol, shniya posea bebirchas ha'oretz, the kol in bonei yushalayim bebirchas ha'oretz. And they combine no delecha and rachem together. So b'med v'orim amurim bosim b'scharim. That's when they're working for what's it called, for wages. Aval osim b'sudasim, they're only working, and their only pay they get is their meal. O shahoya balabayis meisim imohen, right, or the Balabayas, who's what's it called, with together with them, right, he's eating with them, then Mavarachim Tikitikuna. Then they bench regular, they don't shorten the benching or whatever. Rashi. Korin Ishma Mavarachim Fanecha, Reapa Tikuna, the Chembis Mansfila. Right, they what's it called, they say Kriyashma the normal way, with the brachas before and after. Aval ein yordan lifnei ateva, ein rishon libakul mimalachton, the leirid lifnei ateva, lasa shliach tzibur, sheyesh shom bitul melocha, yosem yidai. Okay, me'ein shimon esrei, havineinu, the das brachecha, shekol, yur alev brachas bebracha achas, the gimel rishonus, the gimel achronus kilchosim. What happens is, when havineinu, you say the first three brachas, the last three brachas complete, and in the middle, instead of saying, what's it called, a separate bracha, right, for each of the things of Shmon Esrei, you say them all together, like we say Bracha Achas Main Sheva Friday night. You say a whole paragraph that hints to all the 11 middle brachas, but you don't say separate brachas for each one. That's called Havineinu, and that is what Rashi says is Me'ein Shmon Esrei. Horam Gamliel Rav Yeshua, the Shnam Beperik Tfilas HaShachar, Rav Gamliel Omer, B'chol Yom V'Yom Mispal Olam Yud Ches Brachas, Rav Yeshua Omer, Me'ein Shmon Esrei. Rav Gamliel holds you have to daven every day a full 18 brachas, and Rav Yeshua holds no, you can daven Me'ein Shmon Esrei. First three, last three, and the middle just hint to all the brachas. Osim B'shara, Shenoklin Schar Pulasim Levad Sudasim. If they're getting paid wages aside from their meal, Tzrichim L'mayer HaMalach, they have to be more considerate of the Balabayas and speed up so they can go back to work. And therefore they only daven Me'ein Shmon Esrei. Avalosim B'sudosim B'shvil HaChilu Levad, if they're only working for their meal, Mispal Miuches, then they can daven a full Shmon Esrei too. V'atanya B'nichusa, there's a brayah from this brayah. The Yeshchilu Bein Osim B'Sfar and Osim B'sudosim. We see there's a difference between Osim B'Sfar and Osim B'sudosim. V'ein B'vorchim L'fanel, She'enim Natorah. They don't make a bracha before they eat, because that's only the Rabbanim. Avam Mavarchim Lachareha, Shehim in HaTorah, because Birchas HaMazir is on the Torah, the Sivyo Chalpa the Savata Veirachta. The Kol in Shnei Brachos Ba'achas, Shebirchas HaOretz, Ubin Yerushalayim, Domos. They're similar, and therefore you can bind them together. Okay? Okay, we'll leave what there is to speak about this for tomorrow. We'll start with that tomorrow, because we want to speak about also the Chosim, which we didn't speak about. And that's the next piece that's coming in, so we'll leave the what we didn't speak about for tomorrow. We'll start back from this last piece.